Well, if you would like to have your Bibles open at that passage in Hebrews where we were reading this morning, I'm just going to hang the message on these words in the sixth chapter. We who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. That's the 18th verse. I want to bring a message this morning on the subject of encouragement. It might be more accurate to say it's a message about encouragement. The first thing to say is, obviously, how do we define the word encouragement? How do we think about it? When we think about the word encourage, what's going through our minds? The root of it, of course, the root of that word is to give courage. It is to pass on courage, to pass on hope or confidence. And that immediately assumes, of course, that the one who is receiving the encouragement needs it at a particular time. Perhaps circumstances, I don't know, have called at times for a spirit of confidence, of hope, that we lacked for whatever reason. And we needed someone to come alongside us and bring encouragement. And I think it's true to say this morning that whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, each and every one of us would be able to say we have needed at some point in our lives to be encouraged. Well, the Bible, not surprisingly, has quite a bit to say about encouragement. It even reveals a man whose name is Barnabas, whose name literally means son of encouragement. Now that is a remarkable and wonderful thing. When Paul instructs Timothy to exercise his ministry, he does it like this. He says, correct them, rebuke them, encourage them. He says it's also possible to encourage with sound doctrine. So in the church, if people say, well, there's a lot going on about teaching, about doctrine in that church, well, why not? The Apostle Paul says, encourage with sound doctrine. If we spent our lives in the life of the church inculcating sound doctrine, it would be to our encouragement. Don't let anybody knock and attack the idea of sound doctrine. Listen to the writer to the Hebrews. He lays the responsibility on everyone, so I can look at everyone this morning. Let us encourage one another. Not him or her, let us. While we have opportunity. Today, now, let us encourage one another. I wonder if when we came this morning, we had even a thought about encouraging one another. Paul says to Philemon, your love has given me great joy and encouragement. Christians who do not manifest love towards one another, you're missing an opportunity to bring about the greatest encouragement. And yet, we know it is obvious that people by nature are often discouraged. By life, by circumstances, we may be downcast, and as a result, we might find ourselves in a situation where we are unable to pick ourselves up. Now, none of this is unknown in the New Testament, because the Apostle Paul was even able to say, we are not those who lose heart, because there must have been many around him who were losing heart. Christians in the midst of the world. Just watch the news this week. Christians in the midst of this world, in all of its disappointment and its failure because of sin, may lose heart. It tells me that in the life of the Church of Jesus Christ, everybody needs to be at their game of encouragement. When we see faint-heartedness, when we see discouragement, we ought to be inspired, at least this morning, in the hearing of the word of God, and say, let's take on the spirit of Barnabas and let's be like him. Might all change our names and all become somebody with a middle name, perhaps. We'll take Barnabas as our middle name and become sons of encouragement. And I might ask myself this morning, how much encouragement have I been to people this week? How much consolation have I determined to bring as a Christian into the lives of others? So this is the background. And I just would remind all of you before I really get going. Listen to the Apostle Paul's word to the Corinthians. God who comforts the downcast. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of mercies. And the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them with which in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Paul is saying God comforts, God encourages. God is the ultimate encouragement. And when we have derived our encouragement from God, then surely we will be able to go and give encouragement to others. This morning I would ask at this point in the message, have you received encouragement of God? If you have, then think about how you might also bring comfort and encouragement to others. So first of all, let me ask why. Why is there need for consolation? Why do we need encouragement? Why is it that we need as human beings to be comforted? Well, it's because we are creatures of change. Of course we are. We're susceptible to change. We are susceptible to fickleness. Of course, some, of course, more than others. But we are all susceptible to change. The Bible says we're born to trouble as sparks fly upwards. That tells me that if we are born to trouble, why should I be surprised when trouble comes? And it may be that we are stout-hearted one minute and faint-hearted the next. And you might say, oh, he's a stout-hearted chap. And then the next thing you know, like Elijah, that's why I chose the reading about Elijah, read about him. Why, he can take on the world with the power and strength of his God. He can shut up the heavens and open them by prayer in his God. And the next minute, he's cowering. Yes, one minute stout-hearted, the next faint-hearted. One day we can take on the world, and the next we could be knocked down by a feather. That's the way we are. We are prone, aren't we, all of us, at times to be gloomy or melancholic, to have such a disposition. We know, all of us, as I speak this morning, what I'm talking about. Are you that kind of person that always sees the sky as grey? Never as blue? I don't know. The earth is never green to you. You see life through a jaundiced lens. It's possible to be like this. And such folk are often in need of constant encouragement. But we also must understand this, that anyone may fall into such a frame of mind at any time. So even the strongest people, when you read about Elijah and the way he sat himself down and wanted to end his life, didn't it immediately, those of you who know your Bibles, remind you of Jonah, who did exactly the same thing? Let me tell you something. It is very interesting that the idea of becoming faint or faint-hearted is to grow weary. And when the Bible speaks about being faint-hearted, the literal meaning is derived from a bowstring that you fire an arrow with. So you have a bow, you pull it taut, and then off it goes. And when the bowstring goes loose, goes slack, it's got no power anymore. That's the idea of the word in the Bible for being faint-hearted. It's a spirit of faint-heartedness that comes over the soul, a timidness, a weakness, a sense of uncertainty. And so Paul says this to the Thessalonian church, encourage the timid. Are there any amongst you here who are timid? Encourage the timid. Who, as it were, their bowstring has gone loose. No more power in it. Encourage the timid. It's easy for the world to look down on the timid. The Bible says the exact opposite. Encourage them. Now, the other thing to say at this point is that anyone may fall into discouragement. Anyone. If you read of the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus, who are the two greats who were called up to be in his company? Liam.
Peter.
Peter's with him. But who are the ones who appear before him?
Moses and Elijah.
Moses and Elijah. Elijah is there, one of the greats. And yet we read of him who could, as it were, with his prayer, as I said, shut up the heavens and open them again. And yet Elijah, who had proved the power of the Almighty God, is laid low by Jezebel's threats. Did you notice in the passage that I read, he ran for his life. He was wishing that his life was over. He was so downcast. He had lost his poise and his consistency. And Moses, in like manner also, wished that the Lord would end his life. Listen to David. Have you ever thought of it properly? David says, oh, that I had the wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. I would be out of this situation. And the point is that the best men are men at best. So whoever you've looked at all the greats, the Martin Luthers, the William Tyndales, the John Calvins, the great Puritans, the Wesleys whose hymns we sing, and so I could go on and on. Have they not all at some point needed encouragement? They've all at some point suffered a fainting of their spirits, and this tells you that these men and great women needed others to come alongside them and encourage them. The best servants of God have needed lifting up. The best instruments of God have needed help when they were downcast and when they were discouraged. And so we are sometimes like this, and we should not be surprised. Are you downcast and discouraged in any way this morning? Well, you join illustrious company. You are like so many other greats before you. This tells us something, to some extent, of why we are downcast and why we are discouraged and why we need encouragement. But what about how? How can we encourage? How can we go about the business of encouraging the downcast and the faint-hearted? Well, I'll be helpful right from the very beginning. The first thing is this. It is to practice the principles of the gospel, which are looking not only onto your own interests. Not looking onto your own interests. In other words, not being self-absorbed, but being absorbed with God, knowing of his great encouragement toward you, and going out then and looking and finding opportunity that God gives to be an encouragement to others. Paul says, looking not onto your own interests, your own needs, but onto the needs of others. Listen to Paul when he speaks about Timothy. He says, I have no one like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Paul, speaking about Timothy, says, I have no one like him who takes such a genuine interest in your welfare, and I presume that that welfare included the soul's encouragement. Let me just give you a few examples quickly of where we might encourage people. Let's just take, for instance, the question of those, and there may be those this morning, who are lost. And by lost, I mean they don't yet understand the gospel and do not yet have faith in the Saviour and do yet not know him, do not yet have a relationship with him, have not become a true Christian. What about encouragement for these people? Encouragement to go on hearing the word of God. So what do I say to these people? Always say the same thing. Come every Sunday. Never ever give up coming. Never ever give up. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Hear the word of God. Hear it. Encourage them to hear the word of God. Encouragement to seek the Saviour. Encouragement to believe that if they come with their sins, that he will forgive them. Encourage them to come quickly. Come today. Come now. Come at this very moment. Let me encourage you. Are you not a Christian? You can be frank and honest before God. Then I encourage you to come quickly. Come now. I encourage you to believe his promises, because this is the God who cannot lie, who we read about this morning. I encourage you to believe his promises. Let me encourage you. Has he shown grace and mercy to me? I stand next to the Apostle Paul and say, as he said, I am the chief of sinners. I'm encouraging you. If he would come to someone like me, to a man with a black heart like mine, then he will come to anyone. I'm encouraging you to come to him. You say, would he embrace me? I encourage you to come to him. He will embrace you. So encouragement to those who do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, who have not yet truly put their faith in him. Perhaps this morning you might say, well, I've got my doubts, I've got my fears. Well, talk to someone and hopefully they can show some comfort and show some genuine interest in you. Do you know, there are some people who've remained in churches all of their lives. I know a story about the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. There's a lady there, she's been going forever. She's been going forever. She sat under the great ministry of that place. And yet, as of now, as I understand it, that lady is not converted to the Saviour. She does not yet know the Lord. And how often must that have been repeated in churches? And yet, here it is. Here it is. Wonderful. There have been those who have sat under the ministry of the Word of God for years and years and years and years. And then a word of encouragement has come along from someone. Wonderful word of encouragement, and that person has come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What price? Encouragement to encourage the young people, the children, to come. Be enthusiastic and encourage them to come. I'm begging you, the older people, I am pleading with you. Encourage the children, the young people, to come so that they might hear the glorious, wonderful message of the Saviour of Jesus Christ. To encourage, I repeat, means to give confidence, to place hope, to urge, to assist. Let me encourage you this morning. Let me encourage you to be those who encourage others. Today, if there are those of you who are here and you've never heard anything like this before, and you go away and you begin to practice, as it were, a ministry of encouragement, what great good might be done in the lives of others. What can I do to help, Lord? The Lord says, would you go and encourage someone? Surely, surely this is what the church can do. Somebody might say this morning, I've still got questions that need answering. Let me encourage you to ask them. That's all right. Get on and ask them. Somebody says, I'm struggling to read the Word of God. Let me encourage you to read it. I'll help you to read it. Somebody says, I'm struggling with faith. I've only got small faith. I'm not interested in that. I usually say, small faith is great. It's faith. If it be faith, then it be faith. Not in faith, but faith in Jesus Christ. It's only a flickering flame. And you get alongside them and you say, I don't care whether it's a flickering flame, because the Lord may raise it to a great raging fire. You say, well, somebody said to you that my flickering flame might go out. Christ won't let it go out. He'll not allow anybody to quench it. You say, I doubt. I believe, but I've got doubts. Well, recall the words of Scripture. I believe, help thou my unbelief. Encourage somebody in that way. Is your grasp of God and His Word very small and poor? It's all right. That's okay. Let me encourage you. It can grow. It can become bigger and more wonderful. Take courage. Place your faith in the crucified Saviour. Place your faith in the Lord. I'm encouraging you to do so. He'll never turn anyone away, whoever that person might be. You say, I've got great sins. He is a great Saviour. My sins are as big as the heavens. His saving power is bigger than the universe. It can take on anybody's sins. The Bible says that where sin did abound, grace did much more plentifully abound. I encourage you to go to the Lord. Quickly, what about encouragement in prayer? This is really important. Let me encourage you never to give up praying. Listen to the Lord Jesus. He spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, it would be easy, wouldn't it, in many circumstances, to throw in the towel and to say, nothing's going to come of this situation. How many of you have said that? How many people in my time as a Christian have said to me, oh, there's no point going on with that, nothing's ever going to come of it. And you need to encourage that person. And you need to encourage them particularly to pray. Somebody says, I've got an impossible situation with my mother, with my brother, with my sister, my friend, my neighbour, my colleagues at work, or whatever it might be. There's this hopeless, immovable object and case. Nothing can ever be done with it. Jesus encourages us to pray. What a wonderful encouragement to pray for matters which we've got no power to alter or to change. Let me encourage you to pray. Why spend time worrying when you could spend that same amount of time praying? How many have seen that great film with Tom Hanks? This wonderful film, Bridge of Spies, with Mark Rylance. It's phenomenal. You should all see it. It's great. Mark Rylance, what a performance. And there he is as the spy, the Russian spy, caught by the American intelligence powers. And there is Tom Hanks, who is his defense lawyer, to take care of all of his needs. And they're sat in a cell. And Tom Hanks, as his lawyer, says to Mark Rylance, they're going to fry you. They're going to put you to death. You don't seem worried. And Matt Rylance brilliantly says, would it help? I'll never forget it. What a lesson. Would it help? And the answer is, no. Would it help? Encourage the church, encourage people to pray rather than spend their time worrying. Someone says, I can't pray very well. What is praying very well? Somebody might say, well, I'm not saying you would, but you might say, well, praying like you, that's not praying very well. Or praying like him, or praying like her. No, prayer is the soul's sincere desire. This is how the hymn writer puts it. Uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try. Prayer, the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high. And anybody who is here today, I can pretty well guarantee you, I look around and I see you all. And you have all been prayed for, without exception. Somebody prayed for you. In fact, everybody in this room who I look at now, including the children, I have prayed for everyone, without exception. Let me encourage you to pray. Do you want me to encourage you further? Listen to this. The Apostle Paul says, we know not what to pray for, but the Spirit helps us with or in our infirmities. Wonderful. I'm encouraging you to pray because the Holy Spirit of God will help with your infirmities. And God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So imagine what you might ask or imagine in prayer. He is able to do far more than that. Do not grow weary. Do not grow faint. Do not be cast down. But be encouraged. Be encouraged to pray for the future, for all the young people, for the children, for the Sunday group, for the work with the young people. Pray, pray, pray for it. Pray that those who have begun the journey of the Christian life will endure and continue on. Encourage them, but encourage in prayer. You say it'll be hard to continue the Christian life. It's a right battle. That's true. It is a real battle. But he that hath begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm encouraging you. It doesn't say you'll complete it. It says he will. He that hath begun a good work will complete it. Those who have believed in Christ this morning, young or old, have not believed in vain. He will not forsake you. He will never leave you. He will never abandon you. If it was by grace that you were saved, it will be by grace that you will be contained and maintained and looked after and brought through to the eternal glory. I'm encouraging you. I encourage people to pray so that others might be encouraged to press on, to keep going. Don't faint and don't be discouraged in the battle. Quickly, let me tell you, what's one of the biggest things that people struggle with who are Christians? With sin. Sin never ever leaves, it never ever goes away. Don't be discouraged. We who have fled to take hold of this hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged, says the apostle. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. That's it. The Lord Jesus Christ, let me just encourage you, has an indestructible life. He has an indestructible life. That's what the book of Hebrews says. An indestructible life. He's on my side. He's with me. Let me encourage you to come to him, believe in him, and then to say, he is my indestructible Saviour. I've got absolute confidence in him. I will pray to him. I will encourage others. And I will go on. And I will pursue him to the very end of my life. And nothing will stop me. You might be by your life, by such persistence and by such commitment, such an encouragement to others. And near the end, the storm comes and goes, doesn't it, and roars. You think it's gone, but it comes back and the storm roars. You sang the hymn this morning. You sang the words, in heavenly love abiding. No change my heart shall fear. and safe is such confiding, for nothing changes here. The storm may roar without me, outside of me. My heart may low be laid, but God is round about me. And can I be dismayed with such a faith in such a God? Even though our weaknesses sometimes eclipse everything, with such a faith and such a hope and such a confidence in such a God, He comes in tenderness and He whispers to us to encourage us to go on. Can you go on? Let me just quickly remind you, the God of the Bible is not benign one day and then angry with us the next. That's not the God of the Bible. Oh no, the God of the Bible is gracious and He does not change. And if He is gracious to you this day, be encouraged. Be encouraged. But I'm begging you, don't be mean. If you've been encouraged by the Lord, then encourage somebody else. Think about somebody else. And think about how you might encourage them. Whisper. Here is a whisper of encouragement that God brought to Elijah. And I trust that such a whisper might come through to each and every one of us this morning. The God who gives eternal encouragement, may He give such encouragement to us this morning. And bless His word to us. Amen.
Amen.
Well, hymn number 593.
Peace.
Oh, dear gracious Lord God, you are the God of encouragement. What sight of you is there, Lord, that we can glimpse that is not an encouragement? We ask that we might gaze upon you with such faith that our souls might be forever encouraged, and that we might learn, as your word declares, to fix our eyes on Jesus. Grant us the faith to do so. Bless the word of God in our lives this morning and for the rest of our days. Hear us as we thank you, Lord, and bring you all the praise and all of the glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.